All right, you're listening to episode 3 of Film Study with Ken McCusick. I'm Josh Soroka, like each week, and the main guy of the hour, or 45 minutes, or 30 minutes, whatever this episode is each week, is, of course, Ken McCusick. Ken, how are you doing?
Life's good, except for that loss of the Yankees today, of course. And isn't it nice that you don't have to really say whether it's 30 or 45 minutes or an hour? We'll take as long as we want.
No, I love podcasting because there's no limitations. I don't need to take a break after 20 minutes to let 10 minutes of commercials run. And I don't need to stop at the hour mark for someone to give me news that I heard an hour ago. So I like podcasting a lot because of that. It's free form.
Life is good.
So, yeah, life is good, and that means football season's starting up. So regardless of what the Orioles do, the Ravens play in less than a week, this Sunday.
That's right, 6 days now. And, you know, the excitement this last week has all been about getting the roster in position to go, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. I thought we'd start off with a little bit from the last preseason game, Josh.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear a little bit about the last preseason game because I didn't watch it. It snuck up on me.
Oh.
Somehow, you know what it is. The Orioles got exciting. And I ended up watching the Orioles every night and totally missed. They played on Saturday, right? Week 4?
They played Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, see.
But that's okay.
You can't expect me to watch on a Thursday. The Orioles had a big game on Thursday. They won, like, game number 7 in a row.
Well, anyway, if you're going to miss one game the entire football season, the fourth preseason game is a game to miss. It's a game with a lot of playing time for developmental players. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I think there was one set of players that was kind of in the spotlight in this game, and I think that's the three interior offensive linemen, Illuminor, Zuda, and Skura, who played both guard positions and center in this game. So they were the three that I was really looking at carefully in this game to see how did they perform. They started the game against some players who will play during the regular season some, and they finished the game against guys who might not be around at all. Not like the Ravens defensive line, that's for sure.
Right. And I think that clearly we saw that play out in the roster and how the roster lays out. That those were guys that needed big week fours or preseason week four.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was important for them to play well. So let's talk right away because Zuda, of course, was one of the big unexpected cuts this week. They brought him back in, paid him actually a very minimal signing bonus, but they brought him back in with the hopes that he could contribute as a backup on this line. I don't really think there was ever a question that he would be the starting center instead of Jensen because Jensen's looked pretty good. But Zuda came in, and against some pretty mediocre competition, he had a pretty bad game. He had a D as I scored it. He gave up 2/3 of a sack. It was a sack fumble by Thad Lewis, which was not a good play. 1/3 of that was given up by Skura, who helped get the pocket contained with some pressure. So that's a difference, by the way. Some groups online, PFF most notably, always gives a 1 or 0 for sacks. So I'll share a sack however I think is appropriate among whatever players are appropriate.
Right.
And the effect of that is that PFF has scored Marshall Yanda without a sack now for a very long period of time. And over that same period of time, I've got him with about 2.5 sacks, all composed of partial charges for those. But
okay.
Anyway, a little bit difference between the two. Yeah, so anyway, Zuda didn't – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, yeah, Zuda D, that sounds like Zuda of last year.
It does.
That
and
we
all
said we don't want to go with this year.
That's right, and some of the same things that were wrong last year, you know, getting backed up in the pocket by bigger defensive linemen, were still present. In fact, that's what the sack was, and that's what the other pressure he gave up was. He did have a couple of highlight blocks. He did some good things, but Zuda's gone now. We don't need to talk about him too much more other than to say his final game as a Raven wasn't anything special that earned him a roster spot.
Okay, all right, Zuda's gone. How about Skura?
Okay, so Matt Skura. Now, Matt was in camp last year, and he didn't make the team then either. It was thought that given an additional year, and he came from Duke, and some of the ability of intellectually that he would probably have to relay calls, that he might really be a valuable backup center for this team. And with the various injuries that occurred, Skura appeared a roster lock when Urschel retired, not an injury actually, when Lewis was hurt, shoulder injury for the year, And don't let me forget who the third one was, but we lost another player.
Stanley went out for a little bit. I don't know. You name anyone on the roster, yeah, they probably got hurt.
Now, this is terrible. Sometimes you get on air and you can't remember the name you're thinking of. But anyway, they lost three players on the interior offensive line for the year. And Skura, in this game, probably had a chance to improve his chance to make the club or at least solidify a backup role. And he had a bad game against poor competition. He had a high F. And I distinguish that. Some people say, well, high F, why do you even bother calling? Well, the truth of the matter is that the F has a broad range of possible outcomes in there, and he was close to passing. He just he was an F, and so it wasn't good. It was one of those games that I'm sure he didn't want to have at that time. He was cut and then re-signed to the practice squad, so I think he is the first man the Ravens will add back to the 53 if they were to either go to nine linemen or they want a lineman at some point. And I also think he's near the top of other teams' lists for a player to be called if there's an injury. So the Ravens will have to do something fairly quickly in the season or they'll lose him to another team.
So don't think he'll hang out around for too long on that practice squad.
No, it'd be my guess anyway. Had a real good start to the preseason. It's unfortunate that it didn't end as well for him. Okay. But there was one fortunate step forward here, and that was Illuminor. Had a great game. I mean, really an outstanding game. As it scored out, he had only one negative event, and that was half of a quarterback hit that I charged him for. Other than that, his grade was .94 after adjustment, which is obviously in the middle of the A range. That's not obvious, but that is the case. It is in the middle of the A range at guard. And let's see, what happened among that that was really positive in there? He had several level 2 blocks. He had three highlight blocks. He did not pull as much in this game for whatever reason. He was only used to pull twice, made one of those. But a good, solid effort and something we really looked for from him. And he's still wearing a Ray Lewis 2012 playoffs brace, I'm going to call it. But he looked pretty good in this game. And I know the competition is not what it might otherwise be during the NFL regular season, but still a good game.
All right, that's something, yeah, if you can see anything in preseasons, that's something to get you some hope on. Like you said, it's week 4, so that's the development week. Did any of those development players stand out?
Yeah, that's a good question always for week 4 is what did you get out of your players who maybe won't play during the regular season? So the Ravens have several players on the fringe of the roster still who got some good playing time. Chuck Clark, who was a 6th-round pick this year, never in jeopardy of losing his roster spot because Ozzie always keeps them. Played all 81 snaps, looked pretty good doing it, and he's actually looked pretty good in a couple of the games. I think he may have been the leader on the team in snaps played during the preseason, which is often the case of the game 4 leader, but he played a lot of special team snaps. He's definitely on the core unit when he'll be active. Now, not all these players will be active every week, of course. You go from 53 down to 46 that you play with. But when Clark is active, he'll certainly be a core special teams player. We got the first sighting of our number one draft pick, Marlon Humphrey. So he got on the field. Just to talk a little bit about his game, extremely physical corner, really gets up and run defense and hits people hard. And I normally would say it's good when a corner is willing to be physical, but I don't really like them being physical in the run game. I want them to make those one-on-one tackles in the open field. I want him to be able to take people down quickly after a catch, but I don't really want him sticking their head as the second or third man in on too many run plays. But he did make one. He actually caused a fumble in this game, which is really good for a cornerback, and that was a turnover the Ravens recovered. And I guess it's kind of redundant to say that. But anyway, a good positive first game from Marlon Humphrey, despite two flags that he had during the game as well.
Well, those you hope those flags are just our rookie flags and stuff that he's going to get past.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll work with him this week and they'll try and see, you know, what can be better. He is first man up on the outside for the Ravens, so he won't start in game 1. But if the first guy who goes down, whether that's Jimmy Smith, that's probably a pretty good likelihood, or Brandon Carr, probably less likely, he'll be first up. And it's still possible by about midseason they may just say, Humphrey, the job's yours. You know, you're our number one draft pick, and we want to see what you can do.
Okay. All right, that's exciting.
Yeah. Tim Williams got on the field. and had a really nice pass rush night. And there's some questions about just how good it was, but I scored him with more than I saw PFF had. They had him with 3 pressures and 2 quarterback hits. I had him with about 5 pressures and 2 quarterback hits. But anyway, a fine job. Now, Williams is a guy who had a terrible first game. Just looked like he was running into the tackles like they were, you know, large, I don't know what, mattresses or something, and was able to now get around these tackles play after play. He creates space for himself in a way that I'm really impressed by. Tackles are clearly, and these are 4th preseason game tackles, but they give a lot of ground to him automatically to see if they can keep trying to step in front of him. And we've seen our tackles be a little bit slow with their feet. And when you can't slide, you have to kind of give ground back because it's the only other direction you can go. And that gets you closer to the quarterback where Williams has an additional chance to get off and be more disruptive. So what I've seen from that quick first step has been very positive from him. So I was happy to see that in game 4. Okay. Tyus Bowser, next guy, your favorite jersey?
Yeah, I'm about to buy this jersey. Got it open on Amazon right now.
All right. Well, Tyus Bowser, I see we weren't going to have advertising on this show, I thought, but that's
right. It's not actually on Amazon. They don't have it. This is on the Ravens Shop Official, and it's discounted for some reason from $250 to
$32. Oh, no. I hope he's not hurt.
I think it's the time to jump on that. Yeah. Because this website apparently knows something that you don't know,
or their sources in China somewhere, and they're getting those bogus jerseys. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Tyus Bowser. He's played the run well. He has shown exceptional coverage skills. He's rushed the passer effectively. His pass rush productivity per PFF is at the same level effectively as Tim Williams is, and he's played some earlier in the game. Got a nice long time in the game this time, 45 snaps after 40 the previous week. So he's getting some real playing time. And I think he should probably be the starting Sam. Judon is more of a one-dimensional pass rush player who should be in there situationally, but I estimate that's not the way the season will start. Judon will probably be the starting Sam. So.
Okay.
We move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, so the inside linebacker, and it's unusual that your starting role is not defined, and most of the starters got off in this game, of course. Almost every defensive starter of 11 around got off, but the one exception was at inside linebacker, where the competition apparently is still in doubt. Correa played 19 snaps, Bradley played 56 snaps, and Peanut played 23 snaps. So we've given up trying to pronounce Anwoso's name, and we're just going to call him Peanut from now on. He's 23 snaps.
That's fine with me. I'm horrible with name pronunciation. So Peanut, I know how to say.
There you go. Correa still looks a little stiff to me. Better in his coverage responsibilities with that first step, knowing where he's supposed to go. I thought that's an area where Peanut, who is faster, has not been quite as good. Correa is still a little bit indecisive about where he's going on the run, and I think he just has this natural desire to engage a lineman, which is what you do on the edge, instead of getting past a lineman, which is what you really need to do. You need to slip your blocks on the inside, and it's still a little foreign to him, and he's still having trouble with it. So, they say some things to linemen: use one arm to be longer. You're longer than the other guy with one arm, and he's having a lot of trouble not using 2 hands to get off blocks. So Bam Bradley throws his body around a little bit, has looked very impressive on special teams. He's got that kind of a special teams demeanor about him. He's a little small in terms of height, but he weighs 237, which is right in there at the weight you'd want for an inside linebacker. So that would be solid. I think this is still a position where the Ravens are short, in my opinion, but we saw a little bit of all of them in game 4.
Is Bradley, is that a guy who was a big question mark, big bubble guy? Why did he get so much playing time?
Well, he played well. He played well in the third game, and he moved up, and he got more snaps in the fourth game. I think that, they were actually rotating him in with Peanut and with Correa on a series-by-series basis from the very beginning. So that's impressive that he would get that much playing time.
Okay, so that's a guy they just really like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they love his special teams, and that's something Peanut does well, and Correa really doesn't have as much of a role on special teams as those other two guys do.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on to Willie Henry.
Well, Willie Henry, been a disruptive force on the inside. He flails his arms around, just, you know, like big clubs, getting by people, has a good first step. He took a lot of double teams and was beating them, played 61 snaps, so very heavy workload for a single game for a defensive lineman. You don't usually see a Ravens defensive lineman, you know, they're a very heavy rotation team, play that many unless their name is Nada or Greg or even Williams now would be a similar example. But he looked very good in that respect. He did have another flag, and he led the Ravens in flags for the preseason with 5. So that's something he's got to work on, is really getting that control. But for his first step, I'll give an occasional offsides flag because he's very disruptive. So happy to see him play well.
All right. I hope the Ravens as a whole unit have dealt with the flag issue, because there's nothing more frustrating than watching Ravens football than the flags.
Yeah, especially, you know, a good defensive team that'll give away an automatic first down penalty on third down is exceptionally bad.
Yes.
But
yes.
I think we'll see a defense that will do less of that this year. So, but yeah, good point.
Okay. All right, let's see. Chris Wormley.
Yeah, Chris Wormley, he was in the game, played 23 snaps this time around, looked better moving laterally, kind of kept his man, not pushing him too much, not giving a lot of ground, was involved in a couple of tackles, so a positive night from that perspective. I thought, Chris had his best game of the preseason. Any question that he would be immediately sent to IR with a mysterious injury, faked probably, just went away. The Ravens actually kept all 8 of their defensive linemen, so at least for the moment. And Chris played well enough that it would be nice to have him to go to should the Ravens have some injuries during the regular season.
Okay. That's wonderful news, because I think we'll have some injuries.
Yeah, well,
just based on this year, I'm just feeling 2017, there might be an injury or two.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Patrick Ricard, because he's gotten some of the most focus of any of the people on the roster this preseason, because he's played a lot on offense. And in a lot of ways, he's the Ravens' sixth tight end. He's a fullback. He can move around there. And he played 6 snaps on offense, but he played 32 on defense this game, so he got a fairly good showing there. I do expect they're going to carry Ricard on an active basis week over week. I think he will contribute only rotationally and probably fairly minimally during the year on defense, but I think they'll use him more snaps on offense, whether that means 12 snaps per game or 9 snaps per game. That might be closer to where I would expect him to be during the regular season.
All right.
Okay.
That's exciting. So then we got 2 guys left here, Chris Moore and Mizzle.
Okay. So Taquan Mizzle was lost during the waiver process, so he was cut and picked up by the Bears, who added them to the 53. So they recognized the talent and they took him. The Ravens couldn't find a way to keep him, he's not a huge special teams guy. He did not win a return job directly. He was used occasionally to return kickoffs, I should say, but there was nothing about him that really made him special there. What he really was good at as a receiver. I wish him the best in Chicago, except when he's coming the Ravens, of course, and we'll see how his career goes. Hopefully we didn't lose a good one. Chris Moore has had a lot of difficulty this preseason, but he had a good game this week. Caught the first touchdown pass, getting free of traffic in the back of the end zone. Mallett threw it to him, and that put the Ravens up to stay. He also had one other catch where he had to fight for a short additional gain after the catch. It was about a 7-yard play in total, but the Ravens were working their way out of their own end zone at that time. So, a couple of good signs there. Really want to see him get free on a 9 route, and it's not going to happen until it just happens in a game at this point now. So there's no more preseason to see it happen.
All right. Well, speaking of, there's no more preseason, which is great, which means we don't need to talk about these guys anymore that will not make the team, the practice squad guys. Let's get down to what matters in 5-6 days from now on Sunday at 1 p.m. when the Ravens play the Bengals. There's 53 guys down on this roster. Let's talk about the 53.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the place we want to be. Let's talk about how we got here in terms of transactions, because it's not one smooth move from 90-53 as some people think of it, maybe.
Okay.
So there are a bunch of releases. They occurred. The Ravens did them over 2 days. So they cut a bunch of people they knew they weren't going to keep no matter what on Friday, and then by Saturday at 4 p.m. they had to get down to 53 people.
Now this is the first year that the NFL just had the one deadline for cutting, right? Where you didn't have
to
cut every week.
That's right. So they had previously had a cut to 75 before the final game. The nice thing about having 90 for this final game meant you put less people at risk for the game itself. So you could hold all your starters out and still guys got one more chance, which is good. I'm sure the players on the fringe of the roster really love it. The starters definitely love it. And the only people that probably don't like it a little bit are the GMs around the league, who then are really scrambling to fill out their roster and their holes at the last moment as opposed to a week earlier.
And PSL owners who are already upset about preseason football.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Nobody likes to buy those two tickets,
no,
that's for sure.
I don't know. Why am I paying $100 for a ticket to watch guys who aren't even going to make my football team?
This is an aside, but Steve Bisciotti did something good this year. For the first time ever, the Ravens went to variable pricing by game. So the regular season tickets cost less, and they're about half as much, maybe even slightly less than the preseason costs half as much as the regular season. So they did that, and they did that for aftermarket sales. So when you're selling somebody, a Steelers fan or whatever, a ticket during the regular season, you can say, well, look, this is a $174 ticket or whatever, and not use the average of all those games instead.
Good. I'm glad.
All right. So some transactions occurred first. Those were the big things. They had two big trades. I won't call them big trades, but they acquired two linemen. Effectively, these guys are nearly carbon copies in terms of a lot of what you know about these people. Tony Bergstrom from Arizona was acquired for a conditional seventh. He's a 6'6", 315 guy. He has played, as it's reported, or maybe has been listed as, a tackle with Arizona previously. So there is some question as to whether or not he'd be the fourth tackle on the team, that the guy they'd go to in that true emergency if they had to. The other guy they got was Luke Boanko from Jacksonville, which is an undisclosed draft pick. So conditional seventh usually mean there's some condition upon which he has to meet a certain playing threshold or has to be on the roster at a certain time in order for that seventh to kick in.
Okay.
The undisclosed pick is probably undisclosed because it may be based on whether that seventh is still in possession of the Ravens or not. So what I would expect is Boanko went for a seventh under some conditions and maybe a sixth under other conditions of playing time or whatnot. So Boanko, I said he's very similar. He's 6'15", 300, has played primarily center with the Jaguars when he did play. And they've acquired another guy who seems to play the position where they really already have people set on the inside, so at center. And it's a little bit of a strange move to me, but I guess they're figuring either of these guys could play guard, and that's probably where they would use them.
Or at least bring him into town, let him at least try him out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a pick doesn't hurt you too bad.
No, it's certainly the seventh round pick is not really worth a lot, but right. But I wouldn't want it to be anything higher, let's put it that way.
Okay.
So at three surprising cuts, we've talked about them each a little bit. Mizell was cut, the Bears picked him up, Zuda was cut, nobody is picking him up, and Skura was cut, and the Ravens re-signed him to the practice squad. So I think those are the biggest surprises. They lost three guys to waiver claims. I already mentioned Mizell, the running back, went to the Bears. Payne, who had played well on special teams, not too much an inside linebacker, but he is an inside linebacker, is gone as well. And Woodrum,
the Liberty guy,
went to the Browns. Because your brother went to Liberty. Now he's got to be insufferable today on the show.
The fact that they beat Baylor.
Baylor, yeah.
He's a little excited. You would think he'd be excited, fired up, because the Terps had a huge game. But the fact that Liberty beat Baylor, he's pretty excited. And, talking about the impact they'll make next year when they're actually can qualify for these bowl games and stuff. And, he's all excited about the Flames.
Oh, that's what they are? They're the Flames? Because I really didn't know what they are.
They're the Flames.
Okay.
Apparently their fans are the Flamers.
Okay, good for them.
I didn't go to Liberty. I don't know much about Liberty. except that I chose not to go to Liberty, and he chose to go to Liberty.
All right. Well, I did look up the box score from that game. What was incredible is Liberty ran against Baylor now 104 offensive plays. Now, to put that in as a point of reference, they had 585 yards in the game, so it's 5.7 yards per play. Not really that impressive. No, don't always win a game that you get 5.7 yards per play. But the thing about it was that there were 77 running plays in the game, which is a hell of a lot of running plays, certainly for an NFL game. And yet, Liberty had 12 more plays. Actually, let's put it this way, 13 more offensive plays than any Ravens opponent has ever had in their history. The most they've ever given up is 91 in a regulation game, 92 in a overtime game to the Rams. So, very impressive game. Shocking all the way around with the result. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make sense. 77 running plays, and yet you didn't run out of time on the clock. It's crazy.
That's right. I guess they were probably both in the no huddle. You know, each team tried to run the no huddle the whole game.
College football is just it ends up being a different sport.
Right.
So let's get back to the Ravens. Right,
yes.
Woodrum's
yes.
gone. He went to the Browns.
Browns
picked him up.
Yeah. So we really hope we did not solve the Browns' longstanding curse with Woodrum. But honestly, the reasons Woodrum are gone are pretty well said. He had a hard time getting the ball to the outside, and that arm strength when it's missing is just very noticeable in a quarterback.
All right.
So I think we talked about Mizell a little bit, having limited special teams value. Payne, really good special teams guy, but he weighed only, I think, 217. So he's too small to play inside linebacker on running downs. And I think that was probably some of the decision with him, is they liked him on special teams, I'm sure. I think it could have made him a core special teamer, but it just didn't feel like it was worth holding a roster spot for him.
Okay. All right. Now, some guys went to the DL.
Well, the defensive line had all, so we haven't decided.
I misread your notes. I thought you wanted to talk about DL. I'm thinking baseball and disabled list. That's
yes,
the defensive line. I got to get my mindset right for football.
Yeah, you know what? I was playing poker once. I hate to go into these side stories, but playing poker once, and some guy said, you know, I have a wife, but I'm trying to keep her on the DL. And I said, you got to keep her on the disabled list?
Right, exactly.
He meant the down low.
Right, the down low. And it's all getting your mindset. I've been talking so much baseball, I saw DL and say, oh, we've got eight injuries. Eight injuries sounds about right for the Ravens.
Yeah.
All right, defensive line makes a whole lot more sense now.
Okay, so we got eight defensive linemen. Normally, a team would carry only six or seven. You would have six. You normally have five active per week. And in fact, the Ravens had every one of their snaps last year on the defensive line were spread among only five defensive linemen. So that was impressive. But they kept all eight. They certainly were among the best players on the team. What I expect to happen is Ricard will be on the roster every week. Used primarily at fullback, as we mentioned, but also used some on defense and as a partial rotation player. And then they'll take five players among those that are healthy or those that are due for some action, probably in some cases, and they'll use those five in the other game. So we'll see Williams, Purse, Pearson, Urban as the starters, and then we'll see some different guys in the other two spots.
Okay.
So anyway, happy to see them keep all the defensive linemen. I still think there's a possibility of a trade coming up. One thing you'll notice if you look at the Ravens roster is they've got more defensive player than offensive players. They kept 27 defenders and 23 on offense. And that's as of the last roster that I'm aware of, which still has the possibility that they're going to activate a running back and perhaps send down a defensive player. So
that sounds about right. We're expecting a good defense. We don't know how the offense is being put together, so there's not like there's too many extra offensive guys to hold on to.
Yeah, you're right. Your marginal offensive guys aren't going to be guys that some other team is going to take, so that's, I think, some of the thinking. And the other part of the thinking is that most of your special teams players tend to be like linebackers and defensive backs who have speed, so you want to keep a good special teams unit by keeping more defensive players.
Okay. Do you want to break out the whole roster by positions for anyone who
absolutely.
Hasn't read through the 53?
Oh, absolutely. Let's do that. So by positions, they got two quarterbacks, of course, Flacco and Mallon.
And Colin Kaepernick, right?
Yes, and he's right there in the invisible ink on this.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to protest football if he's not a Raven.
Well, you know what? It's not inconceivable the Ravens would go get Kaepernick if Flacco were to go down from this back injury again. But you know, there's a number of reasons not to get Kaepernick that have nothing to do with the protests or the other stuff.
I know.
I just hate getting into it. So
anyway, right, we got Flacco and we got Mallett. Those are our guys.
Which means we have Flacco. So we cannot ever afford
then
that.
Why don't Mallett we go with Flacco and Woodrum?
Why
is because Mallett a better backup than Woodrum?
Well, they both are unacceptable. I mean, okay. Woodrum can't throw the ball.
It really comes down to, yeah, it's a backup.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're like. We would have loved to keep, I think, Woodrum on the practice squad and then have a third quarterback, but they'll have to pick up somebody for the practice squad and then have him available for later if anything happens.
Kaepernick's available.
Could be.
For that practice squad. Could be doing.
I'll tell you what, if the Orioles if the Ravens lose their first couple of games, there isn't going to be any reason to spend the money from next year's cap on Kaepernick.
Good point.
Yep. Oh, we'll move on.
All right.
So they've got three running backs.
That's where some excitement.
They've got three running backs and a fourth coming. So the three running backs they have are West, Allen, and Woodhead. None of them. Woodhead's been hurt and has barely played in the preseason. West and Allen have been averaging about 2.5 to 3 yards a carry each. Allen's yards per touch are very low and similar to last preseason when he really played himself out of a job. That's been unfortunate because, you know, the Ravens certainly need three guys who can play. The guy they signed, Alex Collins from Seattle, is exciting for a couple of reasons. And the first is that he averaged 4.0 yards per carry. That's fine. But he caught all 11 balls that were thrown to him and 7.6 yards per catch last year. And more importantly, from just some preliminary film looks, and I didn't do this work. Somebody else on Twitter did it. They passed it on to me. I really appreciate that, by the way, Michael Crawford. And I looked at a lot of his pass blocking snaps, and they look like good, aggressive running back pass blocking snaps. So he's moving up to make a block. He's good about deciding where to make a block, and some of that had to be what attracted to him. And if you think about, like, what pairs of abilities do you want a running back to have? I want my good receiving running back to also be my good pass blocking running back, and that's not often the case, but it is in Alex Collins' case, and that's an exciting pickup for the Ravens. I'm sure they'll put him on their 53 at some point, probably before the season begins. But they picked him up. He could have gone anywhere. He was after the waivers where the Ravens got, you know, weren't granted any waiver claims or any waiver claims, but Collins was available after that. The Ravens signed him, and I don't know whether they're putting him on the practice squad or on the roster yet.
Okay. All right. Well, who's Joe going to throw the ball to besides the checkdowns to those running backs we just talked about?
Yes, you're right there. Your four guys right there. Well, they have six wide receivers, and I think part of this is a concession to the fact that these guys haven't tended to stay healthy over their career, but Campanero, Macklin, Matthews was the latest addition to the team, and I think he's one of the guys on the bubble right now.
Okay.
Moore, Perriman, we know his trouble staying on the field, and Wallace. So what they're really lacking right now is a guy that will go over the middle field, make catches, and be durable. That's not a durable set of receivers, and part of why they kept yet a seventh guy who was a wide receiver tight end, Vince Mail, I think is because of the lack of durability in that group.
Okay. All right, so that's going to kind of be a wait and see who can be durable and play every week besides the fact of who's going to click with Joe.
Right. I mean, they've certainly got some speed. So if Joe can get the ball to Campy, to Macklin, to Moore, to Perriman, or to Wallace, I mean, those are speed guys. They can do something. Matthews is a decent red zone target.
Yeah, we've seen Joe work before with speed with some good luck with Torrey Smith in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be the best example of all, probably. So tight end, they've got three guys right now, plus Vince Mail, who is in this hybrid category. So Boyle, Watson, and Williams. I would not call that a particularly great tight end group, but they have three guys, each of whom could help you, and I think that's something. There have been times in the past when the Ravens have had one pure blocker and, you know, one guy who could receive but couldn't block, and a third guy who was maybe a little bit of both. And these are three guys who can do each can do something for you pretty well. Boyle is the best blocker. But it's you know, not a bad receiving group, some chain moving in this group, and if you want the middle of the field and see some of the guys who will make catches there, it'll be these three guys.
All right, and Nick Boyle, is Nick Boyle all right to start this year and everything? He's not done with his suspension yet.
Isn't that the great Nick Boyle question that you have to always ask? Is Nick Boyle unsuspended? Yes, he's clear to start the season, okay, and play this year. Good. Right now. Darren Waller, his tight end friend, is off the team for a suspension, but he's still around.
All right, well, that's good, because the little bit we saw Nick Boyle gave us some hope and some excitement, but yeah, it's are you going to get suspended for something stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, offensive line.
Offensive line. So the Ravens have done something a little strange to start with. They're only going with 8 offensive linemen. I heard some hinting about this, that it might happen this way before the season started, but they've got the starting 5 from left to right are likely to be Stanley, Hurst, James Hurst, Jensen, Yanda, and Howard. Okay, the new guys, Bergstrom and Bowanko, I don't know if either of those guys will start. It would be at left guard in the first week. I don't have any information that's the true. It's possible. One of the things the Ravens are doing is they certainly have all 3 tackles on the field at the same time, which makes me a little nervous, a little bit more risk of injury to do that. So I'd rather, it'd be better probably if Hurst could be off the field as a replacement only to play tackle.
Now that... offensive line was a big issue last year. Is this? Mm-hmm. Do you consider this an improvement with the offensive line? I mean, Lewis is hurt; he's out for the year. But the rest of these guys, did we take a step up? No.
No.
Did we take a step down?
Yes. Lost Ricky Wagner, so the right tackle situation is very much in flux. Howard is a guy I don't think is fast enough to play right tackle. May get moved into guard during the year. That would put Hurst back out at right tackle, and while I think he's improved, I don't think he's any Ricky Wagner. And they had Jensen was available to them last year. They had Alex Lewis last year at left guard. He wasn't active for all that long, but when he was good, and particularly when he's playing guard. So the line's in flux. They may come together. They may play better. The big hope there is Jensen really lifts the center position. And that Yanda stays healthy the whole year, that Stanley can play a whole year. It's not impossible they'd be better. I just don't think they are better to start the year.
Okay. That's frustrating, but hopefully Joe is nice and mobile.
Yeah. It's where we are.
All right. Let's go to the good side of the Ravens. Let's go to the defensive line.
So, okay. The defensive line, very well set up front. So they have the 96, 97, 98 defensive line of Urban, Pierce, and Williams by uniform number. They'll be the starters. Urban at the 5, Pierce at the 1. He's the nose tackle, and the 3 will be Williams on most plays. Now Williams will move around, and he'll play over center some when Pierce isn't in there. But those are the 3 starters. And then beyond that, they've got a tremendous depth. Carl Davis had a great game in the last preseason game. He had a big interception. He's been deflecting passes. He's been getting pressure. Impacting the passing game from the inside is what the Ravens really need this year. They need guys who will push the pocket back and make those edge rushers more effective, allow those cornerbacks to have to cover their receivers for less time and disrupt the passing game that way. They have Wormley, who is probably the guy who's closest to a red shirt on this defense, has played well enough to deserve a role. I mean, I think there are about 25 other teams who would absolutely love to have Chris Wormley right now as their backup 5 technique. The Ravens just, he's 3rd on their list of 5s right now behind Urban and Kafusi. So it is what it is. He might go to IR before it's over, but anyway, that's where he is. Kafusi, big tall guy, a little bit older. That'll maybe come into question when he gets out to the 5th year and you're deciding on the 2nd contract for him, but he's been very disruptive and good in the preseason. A couple tackles for loss recently, so that's positive. Ricard played decently on the defensive line. Of course, most of his contributions have been on the offensive side, despite the fact he's played more snaps defensively. And then we talked a little bit about Henry earlier being very disruptive but having a big penalty problem. So anyway, that's where they are on the defensive line. They've got those 8 guys. I'm pleased as punch they decided to keep them all.
Yeah, then as long as those 8 all make an impact, that'll be fun. The guys that do make an impact, it seems, every game are outside linebackers with Suggs.
Sure, the outside linebacker. Suggs has been the guy for now 15 seasons, and it'll be exciting to see what he has left. He's done some wizardry in the preseason in terms of just knowing exactly when A quarterback is going to throw a pass to the outside and doing some disruption. And not only has he done it himself, it's like he's teaching all the other linemen exactly when to do it. Or he's teaching them, or they're being coached that way by the new defensive line coach, Cullen. But either way, I mean, they've been very effective at batting balls down and happy with the way that's worked. Judon will be the starting Sam. We'll have Bowser, an outside linebacker who's played well, and I think will be, he'll get a lot of meaningful snaps this year. I would expect him at some point to be the starter. Tim Williams, we'll see if he's active every game, and the Ravens need to find 7 inactives on this roster, and my guess is Williams will not play every game if they go into the season with these 5 outside linebackers. And speaking of deactivations, Za'Darius Smith, who was deactivated a healthy scratch some at the end of last year, had just a terrific preseason and very effective rushing the passer, knocking down passes. A couple of those, it almost got intercepted. He had several quarterback hits as well. So they've got him. He's the one guy who may still be traded, but we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay. All right. Moving up inside linebacker.
So they've got 4 guys, and my greatest fear for injury right now on this team, aside from maybe Flacco, is Mosley. The Ravens just do not have any answer if Mosley is gone. They'll lose all their inside linebacker presence, and that's why I think it's one of the areas they still need to address before the regular season. But they've got Peanut, they've got Correa, and they've got Bradley, who are going to share one inside linebacker spot somehow. One of them will be the starter. There may be some differentiation by downs. Hopefully that whoever is out there will be replaced on third down in obvious passing situations by a dime back, probably Levine. So, those guys will split some snaps. But if Mosley misses any snaps, and he would not typically do that, he's the signal caller, so he'll normally be on the field the whole time. But if he's ever forced to miss snaps, the Ravens are in a lot of trouble.
Okay. All right. Well, Mosley clearly is the guy. How about defensive backs with Webb and Smith, and what do we got going on out there?
Yeah, deep, deep, deep group of defensive backs. In fact, it's been so long since the Ravens have been this deep at corner, I can really never remember it occurring before. But despite the couple injuries, one to Kennedy, who did make the roster on a possible designated to return status, so he's on IR. They had to keep him on the 53, and they can still possibly bring him back before the season is over. They also lost Tavon Young for the season, so that was a very big loss. But Webb has stepped up, looked good in the slot, and Jalen Hill has looked terrific in terms of an undrafted free agent in the slot. So we've talked about him enough, I think, that we don't need to redo that. We'll see Smith, and we'll see Carr on the outside. We'll see Jefferson, and we'll see Weddle at safety. The backups there are good. Chuck Clark had a good preseason, so I think he'll be fine at safety. And they've got long corners backing up in terms of Price and Humphrey, both of who are guys are tall, what I call aircraft carriers on the outside at corner. So exciting, deep defensive backfield for the first time in a long time, and I hope that the Ravens can take advantage of that with some turnovers created by their pressure.
Yeah, and I mean, that's for me, that's the exciting football is some pressure from those corners. All right, then you've got them listed as specialists, but really it's just the Wolf Pack is back.
Mm-hmm. No surprise, they stay together for I don't know how many years this is now, but still among the best in the game at what they do, and hopefully they can stay together for a while longer.
All right. So as you said at the beginning, 23 offense, 27 defense, then the 3 Wolfpack guys.
Mm-hmm.
Any surprises with that it was 3 undrafted that made the Ravens?
Well, I think that the Ravens scouting department and whoever is doing the negotiation to get these players, and I think, as I understand the process, there's some UDFAs that get a relationship going with a scout, and they're more likely to sign with that team than with other teams. So I think it's the fact that they were able to get 6 guys to come in who made NFL teams to start the season here is a very impressive job by the scouting department.
Right, because 3 for the Ravens, 3 that signed with other teams.
That's right.
All right. So, all right, there's our roster. We kind of previewed some guys that might help out in the future. Game starts real quick, real soon. What do we got to do?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Greatest need.
So the first start you go back is, there's our roster. It's like the roster is a continually fluid thing, and they're going to have to go back and make changes still to that roster before the season begins. But I'll tell you what I see is the biggest need still. I still think they need another guy who is primarily a tackle, but a swing guard tackle would be the closest. They don't really have that guy right now. They have three guys who can play tackle, and everybody else is an inside, an interior offensive lineman. So I think that they're saving a ninth spot potentially on the roster for a guy who can definitely be a backup at tackle. So a few names suggested around there. A guy named Boone, who played with San Francisco for a number of years, played last year with Minnesota, would be a possibility. He's out there, and given the tackle market, I'm guessing he'd be very expensive to get. But they do have options, and hopefully they'll be able to find someone.
Okay.
And, so
I'm sure you've got some other concerns as well.
Yeah, I do. Inside linebacker was the second one. We talked about it just a little bit. But the thing, what the Ravens need to solve their inside linebacker problems isn't necessarily a different starter. It's to have another guy available just in case. So there's been a couple of guys, two down run stoppers, who have a record doing that, who could come into a game and be the guy, or who could replace Correa or the group if they just can't get it done. Correa by instincts, or Peanut by size. Or Bradley, because he doesn't know where he's going either. So any of those guys might not work out. And if all three didn't work out, I think they need a backup. So another inside linebacker is
right, or a guy, if Mosley goes down, a guy that you don't fall apart.
Yeah, for sure they do need that. And you know what? They don't need to go get a do-everything inside linebacker. Some teams want to do that. All the Ravens really need is a good two-down, run-stopping linebacker that will allow them then to get to third and seven, get to third and six more often, and then get their dime defense on the field, which can really imperil the opponent's passing game.
All right. How about on the offensive side?
Okay, well, on the offensive side, I like to see a wide receiver, and a durable guy is what I want. They're using up multiple roster spots right now with a combination of Mail, Matthews, and I would even say Moore in that group, because they don't have tremendous durability across the group. Macklin's had injuries. Campanero's obviously had injuries. But if they could have one more guy, and you know, if you want to talk about an ex-Raven, Kamar Aiken is the guy I'm looking for, somebody who's durable, can catch the ball in the middle. Doesn't have to be anything truly special, but can catch the ball over the middle and is durable. That's what I want.
All right. I believe Aiken made the Colts roster, so I don't think he's available.
But yeah.
Someone
like him. And there are a number of them. They're around, so... You know, the Ravens can find one.
All right. What do we do if Nick Boyle gets suspended?
Well, the thing I wanted at tight end, I think I'm now okay with if they keep Matthews, because they really need a red zone target among their tight ends. So if they let Matthews go, which is a possibility, then I'd want a taller tight end. Matthews has provided something on special teams, and if he can also be a red zone threat, then his roster spot is justified. But that would be the place. And they've got... A variety of options would be possible. I think the Ravens, what thing they did do well in the last few days was address their running back need with Alex Collins. So, the combination, as I mentioned, of a receiver who can also block in the passing game is a good thing.
Okay, that's great. So what do you think they're going to make a trade, or how do they make room for this extra free agent that they got to get this week?
Right. Well, that's really the question. So they've got three ways they can make the space. The first is they can trade, and at outside linebacker they have an extra guy. Za'Darius Smith is in his third year. He might really have some trade value. In fact, there was a rumor on Twitter today that he'd been traded for a third round pick to the Vikings, and I was like, oh my God, this can't be right. And we looked into it a little bit, and of course it wasn't. So he would make a lot of sense to trade. It's a real question of what the Ravens would get at this point for him, but he had a big preseason, and you know, he a lot of teams right now are short a pass rusher, so having an extra pass rusher is a good thing, because it's a tough position to fill any time of year, but especially right now at the end of camp. On the defensive line, I think that there are two players they possibly could trade. Henry or Davis. Henry, a second-year player. Davis, a third-year player. Both looking very disruptive this preseason. And there are a lot of NFL teams, again, with who are short on the defensive line and would love to have these guys on their roster, quite possibly as starters, but definitely as the fourth and fifth guys in a rotation.
And that's the trade from your strength angle.
Yeah.
All right.
So those.
How about injuries? Any potholes? Someone's going to trip over?
Yeah. Any suspected injuries? It's possible. There aren't really any glaring redshirt candidates other than Wormley. He's the most likely to do it. At safety, it's possible after a few games they could need the roster spot and let Chuck Clark go to IR. That's losing a good special teams player. But if they can't get him activated and it looks like Weddle and Jefferson are making it through okay, then it's a possibility they would make that move as well. It's a little risky because as soon as you do that, then that really tightens you up in the slot because you might have to move Webb back into to play a cover two safety and then bring in Hill to play your slot. So you know, you wouldn't want to test your depth in that way necessarily, but it is a possibility. The other guy who might be a candidate to go on IR is Price, outside corner, long guy, and a guy you'd hope to have around as the fourth corner on the team, the fourth corner on the outside. But in all honesty, if push came to shove, they'd probably let him go to IR too.
Okay. All right, and then, of course, you could always make room by cutting someone. So who's the guy who's on the bubble, who's barely hanging around there?
Yeah, that's exactly true. I think it's got to be one of those receivers. So I'd say it's Mayle or it's Matthews. Both decent special teams contributors, but they can do without either, honestly, and I think they probably would if they pick up another player.
All right. Well, that's... I think you did an excellent job kind of not only breaking down the roster, but explaining why the Ravens kind of went the way they did with these 53 men. What is it, 6 days you get to rest before the first game, 5-6 days, and then you're going to be hard at work with these rolling these numbers.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So every night, you know, we come home and we do it. So it'll be a lot of fun, and nothing like this time of year anticipating the season. Almost have to kind of find ways to burn time this week to get through to it, but very excited.
All right, well, I want people to go on over to facebook.com/filmstudyravens and like our page there. That's the quickest way to get notified when the new episodes come out. I guess the quickest way would be if you went on over to iTunes or whatever your podcast player was and subscribed to that. But if you go on over and like our Facebook page, that's where you'll also find the write-ins of Ken McCusick throughout this football season.
So anyway, I'll be sure to announce how to get to the podcast on Twitter as well. I'm at Film Study Ravens.
Yes.
Josh, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I wanted to get to you first because we want people to send their questions in. We want to be able to answer questions each week. We want people to go at Film Study Ravens and send their questions to you on Twitter. And we've got a Twitter question like every week. So this one is from at Josh Soroka on Twitter. And Josh Soroka selected Danny Woodhead in his fantasy football draft this week. And Yahoo sent me an email saying that Woodhead was the weakest value pick and gave me a D for my draft. Now, I'm in a PPR league. Why do I think that Joe Flacco is going to be passing the ball to Danny Woodhead and dumping that ball off a lot? Does that make sense, or was I crazy to draft Woodhead?
You know, I don't play fantasy football, but I do think that Danny Woodhead's over-under on catches, if healthy, would be something like 64 this year. It's going to be a large number. So I think he'll have a lot of catches behind the line of scrimmage and a lot of yards after the catch. And, you know, for 64 catches, you might move that up to about 600 yards for Woodhead or a little bit less.
Oh, but see, this is a point per reception league. So all I need him to do is catch the ball. And he gets the point. That's why
that's
I went with him late in the game.
Good choice there, probably.
All right. So
I don't know if you knew this, but Danny Woodhead is not on the Ravens' official roster at this exact moment, and Rubens Joseph, a tackle, is. But that's just the one that's out on the Ravens' site. There's a couple errors in it.
Okay. All right. So officially, he is a Raven.
Yeah.
And he is going to play on Sunday.
Going to play on Sunday.
All right. But anyway, the whole point is to go to Twitter and ask questions to @FilmStudyRavens.
Okay, much appreciated. Love the discussion. And Josh, tell us a little bit about your show now. We really want to talk some 336, even though we're upset about the Orioles.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in next week. Section 336, Baltimore Sports Talk. It's me and my brother and my brother-in-law, and we talk Baltimore sports as if we are hanging out at a bar talking, whether it's Orioles or Ravens. It's a lot of Orioles right now because we're wrapping up the season, but I'm sure Ravens talk will come after Sunday and once we get into some real football that matters.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And hopefully you got some Oriole talk to talk about into October this year. So we'll see.
Let's hope they continue well, or at least better than they did this week. Last week they had a good week. Let's hope they can get back on that horse. So, all right, Ken. Well, it was great catching up and talking with you again. Can't wait. Next week we get to talk about games that matter.
Life's good, Josh. Talk to you then. Yeah.